As of today, travel to Cuba is a lot easier. Certain travelers, including academics, journalists, and exchange groups, no longer need official permits from the Treasury Department to go to Cuba, in accordance with new rules announced last month by the White House. At a press briefing yesterday, White House spokesman Josh Earnest was asked about whether tourists could go.
How does the U.S. government plan on enforcing that? The beach police?
Well, I don't think that's what anybody envisions. Yeah. Although it's probably not a bad assignment, I guess.
Joining us now from Miami is Tim Padgett, America's editor for Here and Now contributing station WLRN. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
So let's get through the specifics here. Who can travel to Cuba now and who can't?
Well, not tourists. I think that's one of the big misunderstandings. Under the embargo, which is still in place, U.S. tourism travel to Cuba is still prohibited. What these new regs do is make it much easier for Americans who fit under about a dozen certain categories, like business projects, humanitarian projects, educational projects, etc. It makes it much easier for those Americans to travel to Cuba. For example, they don't need a license anymore. They can spend as much as they want. They can even use U.S. credit cards.
But as we heard there in that reporter's question to Josh Earnest, how are they going to enforce that? How are they going to decide that if I decide to go, and let's even pretend that I'm not a journalist, let's pretend I'm just I'm a construction worker, and I decide to go to Cuba, how do you determine whether I'm there as a tourist or whether I'm there on an educational trip?
Well, you can't. The reality is that tourists from the United States have been going to Cuba for years now, but they don't go through places like Miami or New York. They go through the Bahamas. They go through Cancun. They're going in essentially illicitly, technically, because of the embargo. So none of that is really going to change.
Now, you brought up credit cards. You can use your credit and debit cards down there. Does the infrastructure exist to make that happen at this point in Cuba?
Well, that's going to be one of the big challenges because one of the new regs, what it's directed at is creating what they call corresponding bank accounts. So U.S. banks will now be able to sort of develop that infrastructure with the Cuban financial system, such as it is. And the hope is that that will facilitate then, you know, the use of things like U.S. credit and debit cards.
Okay, we've been talking about the travel side of things. What about trade? What happens? Are there big changes with trade to Cuba?
Well, yes, this will also make it much easier for what we call non-remittance, investment into Cuban business, meaning the business of small Cuban entrepreneurs who have been allowed to create their own micro businesses under Cuban leader Raul Castro's limited economic reforms. It'll make it much easier for, businesses here to, for example, export things like capital goods or even, investment financing to these businesses. And one of the interesting things is that it'll also allow those businesses in Cuba to export goods to the U.S., which hasn't happened since the 1959 revolution.
What kind of a difference, and I guess this is the big question, what kind of a difference is it going to make in Cuba to have this additional travel and trade from America?
Well, the underlying objective of this opening with Cuba, I think, on the part of the Obama administration is to give the U.S. a greater presence on the island, not to topple the Castro regime. That battle was lost a long time ago, but to put the United States in a better position or position itself more effectively so that when change does begin to happen in Cuba, the generation that's running Cuba now, the Castros and their ilk are all in their 80s. So that when change, a transition does begin to happen and more sort of, let's say, Gorbachev-like leaders begin to emerge there, the U.S. will be in a much better position to help influence that change much more effectively than if we just had our backs turned to the island still under the old isolation policy.
Now, as we know, there is opposition to all of this, and some of the loudest is coming from right where you are, from Miami, from Cuban Americans or Cubans who are living there in Miami. Tell us what they're saying now, given the speed with which these changes have happened.
Well, the Cuban-American leadership, or as they're often referred to, the hardline Cuban-American leadership, led by people like Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Miami Congresswoman Ileana Ross Layton, and also Cuban-American leaders like Senator Robert Menendez up in New Jersey, they still believe that isolating Cuba is the best way to get it to eventually start adopting more democratic practice. And they are convinced that, you know, Obama is essentially, you know, betraying Democratic activists, for example, in Cuba. And so they're going to be working in this next Congress to find ways to block his move to normalize diplomatic relations with Cuba.
That's Tim Padgett, America's editor with Here and Now contributing station WLRN in Miami. Tim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.